Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, 1 second. Let me just check something. Yeah, I'm good.
Right, awesome. Hey, good to see you. How are you doing?
Doing well. Had a really nice holiday, Thanksgiving. Took the entire week off and did some man yoga. Went and sat out in the middle of the woods, hunting and fishing and stuff like that, Midwestern stuff.
Awesome. Where were you?
Didn't think about work at all. I live in the Midwest. I live in Wisconsin,
I grew up
the
in
frozen
Minnesota.
tundra.
I grew up in Minnesota, so
Oh,
I'm
that's right. You
familiar.
and I talked about that in the past. Yeah. So
Yeah,
you're well aware
I
of the culture.
am. I am. Yep. Love it. That's
Yeah, are
awesome.
you? Are you a sportsman or?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up canoe trips. Hiking, did the Boundary Waters, did the Quetico, did Algonquin Park, did Northern Canada and various places. Yeah. Wasn't so big into fishing and hunting, but canoeing and camping I did a lot of.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's one of those things when I get a week and I do that, and once I get back to work, it really sets the perspective for me. So that was
Totally.
well worth it.
Yeah, that's critical for you, given the amount of kind of complexity and momentum that you're always having to manage. So you're back at it. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, since I'm getting back and I'm of good mind, I spent a couple of days just parsing through the noise. I had a couple of good things that happened while I was out. The very first good thing I had happen was I usually run a zero inbox, and despite getting thousands of emails a day and having my filter set up so I only see about 100 or 200 of them and only respond to about 50 or less, I went in like Wednesday or Thursday of the week, and I just clicked and marked them all as read. And I didn't look at any of them, and I thought, oh, we'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
If a customer gets pissed, if an employee gets pissed or whatever, but I'm not going to deal with this. I was just really frustrated at the time, and it came from a negative place, but it ended up being a good thing,
That's awesome.
I went through this weird emotional phase where after I did it, I was like, oh, I can't undo this. And then, later on in the night, I felt super relaxed, and the next day I felt super relaxed, and it was a good thing because the reality is only two bounced back at me where something needed to be done, and I haven't had anything come back. And maybe if something comes back, the reality was like, how important was it,
I love
you know?
That's
So
awesome. I'm
some
so
dumb
happy
little
for that.
lessons. So that was good, and I caught COVID, so that was a bummer.
Oh, yeah, I've had that. That's no fun. How
And
you doing? Are you recovering?
yeah, I mean, for the most part, I had like very little symptoms compared to the horror stories I've heard. I still have my taste and my smell, so all the delicacies of life are still here.
Good, good.
That's all good. And then I returned back, and I've been kind of bummed out about the transition that I decided to take in this company. And the reality is I'm just seeing all the flags that I want to see, and getting away for a little while gave me the opportunity to alter my perspective and see things differently. My company is going through so many changes. We have the great resignation. It feels like every day I'm getting a list of 10 or 15 people that are leaving our company in key positions, and I'm just looking at it thinking like, what the hell do we do? And you can't hire people fast enough. And then I'm looking at the industry stats, and the reality is like we're doing really well. No one's really even leaving us comparatively. We're blessed, And but we still feel it, and it still hurts. And it helped get some time. Like I said, I call it man yoga, sitting out there in the cold. But the reality was it gave some time to sit and think. And I got back, and we're putting together some leadership summits earlier this week. The executive team was, and I was invited out to some of them. And it was by the new team that I'm transitioning into.
Good.
And there was this awkward moment where my current leader said, and he put me on BCC for the email, and he said, here's my list. And I wasn't on it. And I was like, you know, this is the moment, you know, this is where I can see that I've been transitioned. I'm no longer part of this, you know, leadership team. I'm going to get cut out of this executive circle that I've been working to get into, and I'm not in the new one. And this is, you know, seals my deal. But the guy that I was reporting to sent me a side note then, and he said, you should be on the other list. Please make sure you're on that other list. And I reached out, and they're like, yeah, you're here. You're good to go. We reserved you a spot, you know, and it took some of the anxiety off my chest. And I've been going into this with a chip on my shoulder, and I don't know why. You know, people have been looking out for me, putting me in the right spot. And it's kind of one of these things where, you know, I know this isn't a counseling session, but I've always gone into something. I don't know if it's because I grew up like stupid poor and always had to earn my way. But like, I've always had a chip on my shoulder, and I felt like some of that was coming back. And I don't know what put me in that mind state over the last few months. So I just, you know, there's a recognition of what was going on there. And it was good. And I think it will help me over the next quarter while I, you know, can look at things more holistically and honestly for what it is. Because with all the change that's going on, I'm only in a better position, and I have a complete autonomy and complete authority over what my work is. I don't really have any complaints or any issues. There's just a lot of business problems and challenges, a lot of opportunities. And the only person who's really going to get my own in my way is me right now. So kind of got to get shit figured out between my ears.
Well, this is exactly the kind of session you would do that on whenever you need that. So that's a lot of what coaching is getting it right between your ears, and then figuring out how to enact that. So you're in a good spot, and we can process that if that's of interest to you. Want to welcome Robin. Robin, welcome.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, I am sorry. I had to grab some food.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, it's lunchtime. I'm eating Halloween mini cheese balls.
I love it. Yeah. How was your holiday?
That's great. Thanks. How was your holidays?
Wonderful. Yeah. Zach got to go into the wilderness and what he calls man yoga in the cold. He lives in the Midwest, so he went out.
Why is it man yoga?
Hunting.
I was like, what makes yoga just for men?
I do yoga as well. So there's yoga, and then there's sitting out in the cold, which my wife does not join me for.
That's awesome.
Which I suspect you're in Hawaii, right, Robin? So it's a little bit different temperatures.
Yeah. I mean, it gets nippy here and there, but definitely nothing like you guys deal with. I don't know where you are, Shane, but.
Well, I'm in Phoenix, so it doesn't get cold at all. Yeah. But I grew up in Minnesota, which is colder than where he is.
Yeah, Minnesota is almost Canada. So,
well, and oddly enough, Minnesota last year, there were times when it was colder in Minneapolis than it was at the Arctic at the North Pole. There's a weird, like, cold thing that dips down and almost exclusively covers Minnesota. It's really bizarre. It's an especially brutal place.
Yeah, it sounds like a vortex.
That's right. Yep. The polar vortex is what it's called. Okay. Well, what do you guys want to talk about today? What's on your mind?
Robin can go first. I don't have a ton on my mind. I just joined the call.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually, I wasn't sure, because normally I kind of like to at least think about like what I would want to focus on or pick. And I had a couple of things on my mind, and I actually feel like the space I settled in is a career conversation that my leader wants to have with me, and she's done a good job of staging her ascent. She knows what she but she's created some awareness and some intents or things that she's interested in. She's kind of left some breadcrumbs for me, so I kind of know where she's thinking we're going to have the conversation go. And I just maybe more than anything wanted to talk about how to craft this conversation. So it's like the most positive mutual path forward. I have to be honest. So she's the CIO, and she is being, she's being asked, or the plans are for her to be the successor to our, I don't even know what her title is. It's like vice chair of, essentially she has the technology organization, the operations organization, and the like call center and service organization that all roll up to her. And so my boss reports to her now. And her boss is trying to say, like, I've set the clock. Like, I know when I am retiring, I would really like you to step in and take my place. So she's having this conversation with my boss. My boss is kind of figuring out how she feels about that. Mm-hmm. And in the spirit of that, she needs to talk about succession plans for herself. And she's wanting to talk about this with me because she's like, I see wonderful attributes that you bring to the mix that I think would be great for a role like I have. To be honest, I have zero interest in the role that she has. And so that's why I feel like I need a little bit of, I need to shake out some of the thinking and the talking through this, because I don't want her to feel like I'm just already shutting something down without giving it some true thought, but not true thought, but giving it a chance maybe. But I also know that that's not, at least right now, it's not something that that excites me by any means. Help me sort through my thinking if you can. And I don't know if this is on topic, off topic, where it fits.
Everything's on topic. I even work with leaders who are going through personal stuff, so it's fine. Okay. I don't make a big distinction between personal and professional. I think things influence. So whatever is on your heart and mind, this is stuff that I can help with generally. Yeah. So you seem to have a lot of clarity. Is that right? Am I reading you right?
I'm like, if it's something I don't do or don't want to.
Yeah, you don't seem the least bit ambivalent.
Am I reading it right? Yeah, I'm not. And that might be I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it's for me.
Okay, talk to me about why it's not for you. Let me hear you talk about that.
For sure. But I just want to also say, like, in no way, shape, or form has anyone been like, I would give you this job. Like, that's not what anyone is saying. You know, if they're talking about like a 2-year model. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So why I'm not excited by it? Let's put it. Let's just say, In my previous role, I was a direct partner and coach to a lot of people. My coach is not the right word, but I was like a direct partner who would do like some kind of coaching and support and enabling of specifically the CIO role. So I worked with a lot of CIOs in a lot of organizations, and it's a hard gig. It's a hard gig. And I don't know. I mean, like, Zach, you probably have some perspective too, but it's a hard gig. And there's a lot of, depending on who else is a part of the leadership team, the value of that role and that position and the function overall kind of depends. And it doesn't feel like there are parts of what the function does that I feel passionate about. There are other parts of what the entire IT function does that I am much less passionate about. And
so why don't you give me some specifics? I think you're very well trained to have corporate speak. I want you to talk more freely with us. There's okay. Confidentiality here. You're protected.
Okay.
Tell me what's really going on.
There's a certain level of responsibility for things that occurs in that role and at that level that I personally just am not wanting to sign up for because my job is not my life. And I think with some of the responsibility that that role carries, the weight of that is just more than I'm interested in taking on now, but maybe ever, to be honest, because I want to be able to feel like I can also be present with my family and still do things that are important to me on a personal level. So it's more that like the response, the degree of responsibility, and also like the it's not just the degree of the responsibility, it's also like the probability for things to go wrong is pretty high in the field in general. So it's not just like that it's a lot of responsibility. It's also like there is a decent probability that some potential things of kind of that could be at like very large, could catastrophic levels can occur that I just personally am like, I don't ever really want to own that.
Is this person your direct boss?
Mm-hmm.
So if they move on, you can get a new boss?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there someone else that's obvious to that role, or would they go external if you said no?
I think there are some other people that they could look at internally, and then they probably go a little external, like a peek externally. But, you know, this is a couple of years from now, so, I mean,
a lot can change.
Okay.
There are a couple exercises I'm thinking of having you do right now, but I'm not sure it's necessary because I actually sort of feel like you're already there.
I kind of want to add one thing too. That's like even bigger than like the job itself. I think I shared with you when we had originally talked, like, I'm not actually sure that being a very, very senior level executive at a bank is even something that like excites me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have you do, it's about a half a dozen exercises. So this is my wheelhouse. I wrote a book called Cats Don't Bark, a guide to knowing who you are, accepting who you're not, and living your unique purpose. So there's a bunch of exercises in there. I'm kind of going through the mental catalog of which one might be.
What did you say it's called?
Cats Don't Bark.
Oh, okay.
The name of the book. And the metaphor is simply, when you understand your nature, you accept whatever behavior comes from that nature. So you don't expect a cat to bark. It's not its nature. And when you understand what your nature is, then what comes from that is automatic. And the way you get at your nature is through desire. So when it comes to understanding or trying to design your purpose or figure out your path or whatever, the most important piece of guidance is desire. That is the CEO of your life, your desire. It's the one thing no one can convince you to not have. And it's the one thing you can't manufacture to have if you don't have it. True desire is your identity. and it's the thing that people will try to tell you not to have or want you to have another way, your desire is what guides you.
Okay.
So pay attention to that as the prime mover in any decision you're making. So one of the things to do is an exercise to get you in touch with desire. And just as a simple metaphor to understand the way change happens in humans, there are some things you can change and some things you can't change. So the metaphor I use is always height and weight. You cannot change your height no matter what you try to do, no matter how hard you work at it, it will not change. You can change your weight, your muscle mass, your fat mass, your body composition. Those things can be changed based on effort. Okay. And so first thing to understand is that your height, in an internal metaphor sense, is desire. Oh, it's the thing that is granted to you that cannot be changed no matter how hard you try. All kinds of other things are your weight. And if you really want something, you will go about changing yourself to get it.
Okay.
So pay attention to which is your height and which is your weight in an internal sense. And I've given you a clue that one of them for sure is your desire. There are other things that are also your height, but desire is the most fundamental one. So I'd like to take you out of the role of executive at a bank. And I'd like you to just be Robin for a minute. And okay. Robin was brought onto this planet and is constantly being given guidance by, I'm going to call it a force bigger than you. You don't have to believe in that, but I'm going to tell you that there's a force bigger than you that is connected to you, this part of you that is, that can see more than you can see. And that force gives you clues. And the clues are always in your heart, because that is where desire lives. Desire lives in the human heart. The human heart has an intelligence of its own. The human heart is like a brain. It has an electromagnetic field that is 5,000 times bigger than the electromagnetic field of the brain. It has 30,000 neural dendrites in it, which are brain cells in your heart. So it is a source of guidance, wisdom, as important as your brain, but it should be used for different things than your brain. So when we're talking about purpose, we're connecting to that heart. So I want you to put both feet on the floor. And I want you to close your eyes. And if you want, you can turn off your camera so you don't feel like we're watching you, but you're going to go inside for a minute. And if you feel comfortable closing your eyes without the camera, that's fine. Doesn't matter.
I might turn it up just so I don't.
So whatever feels good to you. Yeah. Whatever feels good to you. Because what I want is I want you to begin to turn and orient yourself within right now.
Okay.
And so go ahead and close your eyes after you've dealt with the camera. Close your eyes. Good. Sit up straight. Close your eyes. Both feet on the floor. And I want you to begin to place, not begin, I want you to place your hand on your heart. And just breathe naturally. You don't have to work at it. It'll naturally happen for you. And I want you to now begin to feel the warmth of your hand on your heart, wherever your heart is physically on your body, begin to feel the warmth of your hand on your heart. And I want you to start to attend to that heart the way you would. I want you to pay attention to it. Feel through your skin, through the muscle, through the bone, so that the kind of like the energy of your hand is reaching into and feeling and holding your heart the way that you would hold a newborn infant. And so in the same way that a mother who has an infant, there is nothing else that matters on the planet more than that infant's needs. If that infant needs something and expresses that need, the mother will be instantly there. And I don't care what else you put in its way. I don't care what else you tell the mother. I don't care how much you threaten the mother. There is nothing that will stop that mother from attending to the need of that child. So your heart is that infant, and it has needs and desires. And it doesn't matter what anybody else on the planet thinks that infant should or shouldn't need or want. Your husband doesn't matter. Your kids don't matter. Your boss doesn't matter. Your friends don't matter. Nobody's opinions matter. Only thing that matters is you are the mother to this heart, and you are going to tend to it come hell or high water. So give me a signal of some kind when you've told me that you've made that contact with your heart.
Okay.
Good. So, you know, in this, and now I want you to kind of hold that heart the way you would an infant. If you would rock back and forth, whatever you would do to let that infant know, I'm here, I've got you, I'm listening, I'm attentive to you. And just kind of do that, whatever comes naturally to you as the mother of this heart. And now I want you to ask the heart internally a question, and I want you to speak it out loud. And we're going to do this for exactly 3 minutes. And I'm going to repeat the same question, and I'm going to ask you to answer it first thing that comes to mind without any judgment whatsoever. And I'm going to allow you to return and listen again. But the question you're going to ask that child, that infant heart, is simply, what do you want? So go ahead and ask that inwardly, and then share out loud the first thing that comes to mind without any judgment. Could be a cheeseburger. Could be something profound. Could be something mundane. It could be something ego-driven. It doesn't matter. There's no judgment about whatever comes up.
Freedom.
So share whatever it is.
It's freedom.
Freedom. Good. Okay. Freedom. Good. Now, staying connected to your heart, eyes closed, really being in relationship to it, I want you to ask the question of your heart, what do you want?
Time.
Time. Good. Okay. Maintaining that connection, eyes closed, really listening the way a mother would to an infant. Those really, really subtle, little tiny messages, movements, cries, images, words, whatever comes. What do you want?
Connection.
Say that again.
Connection.
Connection. Okay. What do you want?
I feel like the same stuff keeps coming up.
Fine. We're going on time. It doesn't matter. You can repeat yourself as much as you want. What do you want? Ask your heart and speak it. Could be an image. Could be the exact same words you've already said.
Adventure.
Adventure. Good. What do you want?
Time.
Time. Good. What do you want?
Love.
Love. Good. What do you want?
Joy.
Joy. What do you want?
Contribution.
Good. Contribution. And I'm going to turn just a little bit, staying connected, eyes closed. I want you to ask your heart, and it may not have an answer, and you don't have to force an answer. I just want to see if anything comes. Ask what it needs time for.
Me.
Okay. Me. Is there anything else that it needs time for?
Love.
Love?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm going to ask another inquiry of the heart. Do any other words or associations, images, colors, shapes, doesn't matter, anything at all happen when you ask about the nature of the contribution it wants to make?
Purple. I don't know why.
What just happened?
Purple. I don't know. I think I just saw some purple.
Good. Purple. Okay. Inquire again, please. Could be a feeling, could be a physical sensation, could be specific words. What's the nature of the contribution that it wants to be a part of and make?
Kind of see a globe.
A grove?
A globe, like a globe. Like a, yeah, half the world, yeah. Kind of.
Okay. I'm going to ask again. Check in with your heart, connect, feel, and ask the question. What is the nature of the contribution you want to make?
Embedding anything, just more purple.
Purple, great. Beautiful. Okay. And don't open your eyes yet. I don't want you to leave this state without first doing whatever you need to do to thank your heart. If that's just the way you're going to hold or posture, you might want to speak that to the heart. You might want to do it silently, whatever feels good to you. Thank your heart for speaking, and then tell your heart that you will listen to it. You will not abandon it. You will not betray it. You will hear your heart, and you will do whatever it takes to give your heart what it wants. Because like an infant, it is a need. And so whatever you need to do, and I want you to now remember that every time you put your hand on your heart, over your heart, that is your signal to the heart that you have heard it and you're going to respect it and respond to it. So anytime you're feeling a little bit confused, a little bit lost, not sure what to do, every once in a while, just feel your hand on your heart and make that connection. It won't take this long. It'll be pretty immediate. And so whenever you're finished with that, go ahead and return to the moment.
Okay.
Thank you for your trust. That was a mini version of what I actually take people through. I wanted to give you a taste of it. What did you notice when you did that exercise? What surprised you? What connected for you? What did you notice?
It's funny, like when you kept repeating like the "what do you want" question, mm-hmm. I almost like the feeling got, like the beating got more apparent.
Meaning it was more intense?
Yeah, I don't know if it was more intense, like the speed wasn't different. I could feel it more than kind of like when I had first placed my hand there. Like it just kind of, it wasn't like the intensity or the speed or anything like that.
You just connected more.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anything else you notice about that exercise? Good or bad, neutral, doesn't matter. Just anything else you...
Just like how certain questions, when you would ask them, like the same answer would repeat, like often. And then I would try to like sit with it for a minute longer and see if like something else would come up. But there's a lot of repetition.
Good. Well, let me just make, that's awesome. Any other comment you want to make about the exercise?
No, I think it's interesting, yeah.
Okay. So first of all, I'll just say you actually have really good contact with your heart, which is awesome. And the reason I know that is because when people do this exercise and they're not very connected, they tend to do elaborative answers. Mm. It's like their head gets involved and it's like, I want the blah, blah. It's almost like they're writing a mission statement.
And
you just came at it really pure and really simple. So that's a really good indicator you got good connection there. Does the color purple mean anything to you? Do you have any association in any part of your life, existence, anything at all that purple means something?
I don't think so. That comes to mind.
So what I want you to do is in the coming weeks, I want you to be attentive to where and when the color purple shows up in your life.
Okay.
And note it, remember it. And if it happens, bring it back to the next call.
Okay.
If it doesn't happen, that's okay. Same as with the globe. I know this stuff sounds kind of off the beaten path, but this is the way guidance works in the realm of the heart. There's weird synchronicities and unpredictable things. And usually that means that something will show up later. It could be a year from now. I'm not saying that it needs to come now, but just I'm just trying to give you some basic orientation for the decision-making that you're going to have coming up in your life. It sounds to me like freedom, adventure, and time felt like they were connected to doing. Connection, love, and joy felt more connected to the being. Both are valid and both are expressions of the heart, doing and being. So by being in the world and by being in your heart, you want to experience that connection, that love, and that joy. And that's very possible. It has nothing to do with what you choose to do in life. But freedom, time, adventure has everything, and contribution has everything to do with expressing yourself in the world. And so when you think about your current role, forget about the role that's being offered you, your current role, to what extent do you experience that freedom, time, adventure, and contribution? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being 0, not at all, I have none of those things, and 10 being
It's never felt more of those things. And they'll be each one will be different. So first, freedom, scale of 1 to 10. What kind of freedom do you feel in your current role?
Interesting. In the role, I have a lot of freedom. So 9.
Great. Okay. Time.
Ooh, not much time. Well, like by not much time, meaning like, I guess I'm interpreting it as not a lot of free time. Is that time?
Your heart will tell you whether or not you're having the thing you want. However you interpreted that word time, your heart knows. So ask your heart on a scale of 1 to 10, how much time does it have?
Not a lot. And I guess when we were talking about time was actually like time for myself. That's why it was the first thing that came up. So not a lot of time for myself.
Okay. Adventure.
Nine.
That's great. 9. Okay. And contribution.
Right now it feels like an 8.
Okay. Now I want you, that's awesome. 8. Got it. Now I want you to imagine the future role. What's your imagination of the future role? Same thing, freedom.
Well, 10, probably like 10s across the board, right?
I don't know. No, I'm saying the role that you're looking at.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, oh. The one that they want you to consider that you're not interested in.
It feels like 5.
Okay. Time.
Even less. So 1.
Okay. Adventure.
Probably high. Yeah. Like probably a 9 as well.
A 9. Okay. And contribution.
Could be high. So probably like a 8.
Okay. Good. So the only thing that really shifts in taking that role is you feel, and again, I'm not saying whether it's true or not, just your own emotional experience, is you feel less freedom. Everything else is pretty much maybe a little less time. Mostly you feel less freedom.
Yeah.
But more than all of that, you don't even see yourself long-term in the current role you're in because you don't want to be an executive at a bank.
I don't think I do. I guess like, yeah, I don't think I do. I think I, it almost feels like as I gain more, because like my kids are young right now. So I have certain constraints in my life that make certain things harder. So I feel like I'm just going to want more and more freedom as I gain more freedom from other places.
Yeah.
As I like get more capacity to have that, I'm just going to want more of it. And it's like moving in the complete opposite direction. So I don't know.
Do you already know what you want to do next?
Kind of want to do my own thing.
I know that. What own thing? Do you already know what that is? Or is it like I want to open a yoga studio or I want to be
I don't exactly know yet. I have some like areas of interest for sure, but I don't exactly know yet.
What are those areas of interest? Can you share?
Yeah. So real estate development is an area of interest that has kind of always been on my radar. And then I actually did have another company that I sold my interest in about 3 months ago because I was like, I'm being pulled in so many different directions and I can't give it what it needs. So it's probably the best thing to step away. And it was an e-commerce textile business. So I think maybe something in coming back to that space might be of interest at some point in time.
So that's kind of the artist part of you, or still more business? I mean, I know it's a business, but it's kind of the artist part of you, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay, good. So obviously in a, 30-minute call here that we're, we got an hour together, but I've only taken 30 minutes of your time. There's only so much we can do. But what I want to do is just sort of make contact for you again. And I want you to stay in touch with this part of you because it's guiding you. And it may guide you to a place that's unexpected, or it may guide you to a place that's very expected. And I want you to start reawakening those conversations. Talk about it with your husband. Talk about it with trusted friends. And really start to explore what comes up for you. Comments or questions about that?
No, yeah, that's fair. And I'm kind of new. That's what I probably needed to start doing, because I do have a lot of, I don't want me to be like 100% transparent with my leader, but I also kind of needed to have some answers for myself to feel like I was being authentic and I had more reasons. I had more clarity on like the reasons why, because like I could pretend to entertain whatever we're talking about, but it feels like a waste of energy for everybody.
I think that's good. And I think it's okay for you to express that clarity. What you've shown me here is that the only thing that I would say is unless there is, if you're truly clear that you don't really want to be an executive at a bank and you want to start expressing more of an artistic side of you and express that in business, then yeah, there's no reason to lead them on to think that this is a possibility. I will say that both roles gave you pretty high scores on adventure and contribution. Freedom and time were a little bit less. Mm-hmm. There are possibilities sometimes if you're good enough and they want you badly enough that you can actually structure roles in ways that give you some of the things you're after. So that's only if you still wanted to be in a corporate banking structure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
If you're clear you don't, then you don't need to just let them know. Yeah. That's not the direction I'm going.
Zach,
you don't have to tell them you're leaving. You don't have to tell them what you're going to do.
Oh, no. Zach, I'm just so curious, just like from your perspective, you're sitting here as like a third party listener. to my conversation with my heart. Like, how was that for you?
Well, hopefully I'm not coming off as like a weirdo or something, but I appreciate your courage. First of all, I think that takes a lot to want to share. I think these exercises are extremely valuable. I've been doing a lot of similar exercises over the past 6-7 months, not this exact same exercise, but really trying to, you might recall when you entered this call, one of the first things I was saying was trying to figure things out between my ears, because as I go through this transformation, I knew from the beginning on my side that I don't know what the result will be, but I don't know if I'm going to like the result of where it ends up. And that might be regardless of what the result is, because I know that who I am, and I know parts about who I am, and that what my job is doing and where I'm going in life isn't really aligned with what I need for like personal fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And so I spend like a lot of time in like disc profiles, and it was good to do like the Enneagram and a lot of these things. But one of the things that I was really doing a lot of at that time, over the past, I would say several months, was I was doing this stuff where when I would wake up in the morning, I'd do a dream journal and write down like what was coming out of my subconscious to figure out like what's bothering me when I sleep or what's at least coming up when I sleep. And then just whatever I could write down like right away before I'd forget it. And I was having weird shit come up, like, you know, and it was stuff you wouldn't realize or whatever, but I was having stuff like, as an example, I had some stuff come up, like, I had for dreams, you know, they come in little glimpses. I had one where I was at this like little lake park, like a little beach park, that I was at when I was a kid, and my uncles came in and I was all embarrassed because my uncles were there. Some uncles that I don't ever talk to, my uncle and my aunt, and they're being loud and drunk when they came into this park and I was with my friends. And then like a little bit after that, my dad came walking into the park and he asked, "Hey, like, where's your uncle?" And I was embarrassed that I seen my dad looking for my uncle in front of my friends. And I wrote that down. And then I said, I thought about that. Like, why was I embarrassed about my uncles? And why was I embarrassed about my dad? And I realized that my uncle was getting like really old to the point where I don't think he's going to be around very much longer. And my dad is just basically falling in his footsteps. And if his health is slipping, my dad's health is slipping. And I just am not, I'm choosing to ignore that in life. And, you know, precious time is slipping and I'm not listening to my heart. And this is my subconscious, like basically screaming at me and it's coming out in my dreams. And so like, later on that day, instead of acting it out in some stupid way, I just, you know, set some dinner dates with my dad, and he just lives a couple miles down the road. But I, you know how it is. You just never spend time with the person, even though they're right there. And I started to work on it and it helped, you know? So, I mean, I think Shane, Robin, that these things are extremely valuable and very easy to overlook. I'm not judging anybody when I see this stuff happen. I'm just taking notes on how to do it better.
Cool. Yeah, no, it was it's almost like a guided meditation, almost, is what it felt similar to.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah, it felt like
it's guided meditation. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because usually you can focus on a physical area so that you like quiet the noise and then you start to ask questions or like reflect and just like notice what comes up and like let it go, that type of thing. Let it go is mostly because like if something comes up that bothers you, I think to not get like, so it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a guided meditation around decision-making and purpose. Hmm. And there are dozens and dozens of these things that I use when I'm helping people discern decision-making. And this is more like what you call like a blue ocean practice, which is just like, you don't have a specific choice you're facing. You kind of already are like, no, I'm not going to do that. So now it's just more like if it were a blue ocean, what would you do next? And I think I'm going to email you your answers and the numbers you gave so that you can just reflect on it. You know, I love that you guys are thinking about whether or not you're listening to your heart in your work. Because you're in really high demanding positions. You're high level leaders who are doing demanding things. And it's really easy to lose sight and contact with your sense of purpose and identity in the midst of a corporate structure. Corporate structures are notorious for telling you to want things you may or may not want. And so it does take a lot of courage to make contact and maintain contact with that heart. So keep at that, make that a high priority no matter what.
Yeah. Good. It's a good reminder. I there's that role that she's talking about, but also there's a specific corporate title that the next corporate title that exists. And people are like, why aren't you going for it? Like, why aren't you And I'm like, I don't care. I'm sorry to say, but I know it. And I'm trying to be nice about it, because that does matter to some people and they do hold it in high esteem. I just personally don't. I feel like it's more about like the contribution, like what can you bring to the table? And that will always trump whatever title you have. So yeah, but that was a good reminder, because I started to be like, oh, wait a second, should I care about this? and I think I have my answer. So.
Yeah, no, you really don't need to. And I sense this actually about both of you. It is possible that in both of your case that corporate structures ultimately are containers too small for you, because they just demand specific ways of doing and being things. And it's possible that you are both brighter than the context you're in. And so either entrepreneurship or consulting is another next step that people often take when they're just bigger than a system. And they're like, I'm outperforming all of my peers. I keep getting promoted faster and I don't have the joy of it. I just have the demand of it. And that's usually an indicator that your competence, both soul level competence and cerebral competence and emotional intelligent competence, is greater than the container you're in. And so while I'm not encouraging you both to quit your jobs tomorrow, I wouldn't be at all surprised if in 2 to 3 years, if I were to connect with you again, you would be on to the next great adventure and it wouldn't be within a corporate structure.
So on that note, I guess, I don't know if I've ever shared that with this team or with you, Shane, but I actually own 4 different companies.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah. One of them you can actually go and look at. It's halfclosedwilltravel.com.
It's what?
Halfclosedwilltravel.com. It's a travel adventure company. And my wife is the main person who's working on that. But and then I'm listed as the CFO. You know, we have like 15 travel writers on it. But I also own a consulting firm. Mm-hmm. I also own a product development company, which I sold. I sold the majority stake ownership, but we originally, before GoPro existed, we originally came up with the first camera mounted for extreme sports like bow hunting, and on paintball guns we mounted. And I set up the manufacturing in Singapore to put micro cameras and record onto SD cards your experience doing things. Hmm. And but still obviously stayed employed. Entrepreneurship is something that.
Yeah, man, I do think that just getting to know both of you, that's my read of both of you, is that the corporate world is there as a kind of a security blanket, and it may or may not be the best expression of who you both are. I'm not saying you shouldn't be in it, but that's just my read of both of you. I just think there's things that will give you more life and more light and more joy, even if it gives you a little less money for now, or maybe it'll give you more money later or whatever. But I think there's a little bit of a responsibility bone you both have. Like you're responsible people. And sometimes that bone of responsibility causes you to neglect parts of the heart that are crying out, that are saying, please, I want to go this way. Why won't you let me go this way? And the thing stopping them is the mind. And the mind has a whole list of reasons why it's a bad idea. And that's why whenever it comes to decision-making around purpose, I never, ever want the mind involved in that. And the mind is not made for it any more than a rolling pin is made to cut vegetables. It's just the wrong tool. You want to do your taxes? Yes, your mind is very helpful. You want to write code? For sure. Write code with your mind, you know. But when it comes to purpose, that's where I would just something for you guys to play with. Chew. Yeah.
We're getting close on my side. I have to jump for my next call, but I'm 32 years old, but I'm very close to retirement, and I'll be able to choose if I want to. That's actually part of some of this as well, as whether or not I wanted to move on to this next role or just retire from the corporate world. So
good. Well, maybe
these are all good exercises.
Maybe we dig into that.
So next. Oh. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your openness. And yeah, I do feel, I don't know, you guys made me feel safe. So
good. Well, we appreciate your trust and your courage. And we can go deeper next time with both of you if you want. So it's just a matter of how you want to use the time. Awesome. Well, respect to both.
Thank you.
See you. Take care.
Talk next week. Bye.